Hello, Universe.
Hello, Matt.
Hey there, Jan.
Hi, welcome back.
Thank you, cough, cough. I'll be coughing throughout the show for those that are interested.
This is a sound healing show. That is a horrible thing to say, Matt.
Well, there's some counterpoint.
I know, there's a little dot there. You can just hold the phone line when you need to do your coughing. We're all about health here. Our show is called Live from Ordinary Miracles, and our format is all about sound. Sound for healing. Sound as a futuristic medicine, which is actually here in many, many modalities, of which we'll be sharing with you. I'm Jan Sircone. We're broadcasting here from downtown Cotati, California, in Sonoma County.
Little town in wine country, but an hour north of San Francisco, for those of you from outside the area.
From a little store called Life from Ordinary Miracles.
Yeah, I like that store.
It is great having you back. All right, let's start out with something fun. Okay. He always tells me I forget this. I love to say this. My father used to do this around our dinner table. Could just picture Irish Catholic, family of 10, and the father saying, the fireman saying, what's the best thing that happened to you today, Jan, and what's the worst thing? You go first, Matt.
Oh, thanks. I think the worst thing is my dog's pissed off at me right now because he wants to go for a walk, and I'm in here doing the radio show.
Where's your wife?
She's in Ohio in the snow seeing clients.
Ah, that's the problem.
So the best thing is she's coming home tomorrow.
Good. Excellent, excellent.
And Jan?
Well, my best thing and worst thing, it's always like the, you know, the flip side of it. And I went for a massage today, and it's my friend, and I was standing there in front of her door business, and I see her driving by, and she looks at me and she said, I thought you stood me up. And so anyway, the person who massaged me was ticked off at me. That's not so good. So that's the bad thing. But the good thing is that she is a total priestess. She's a healer. She works with subtle energies. She just did a little space setting, and it was an unbelievable healing. And she's a sound healer. I didn't realize that last time. She just used her hands, but she sang into my back. Pretty soon we were both toning and humming, and it's quite phenomenal, so, yeah.
What's her name?
Nancy Malloy, and she's right here in Sonoma County. She's very, very gifted in many ways. Maybe she's listening. Hello, Nancy. Thank you, and thank you for getting over. Now, that's the true sign of a priestess. You know that?
Well, be present.
They just can step right up to the plate and hold on to that energy, whatever's needed. Take over, or they can step back. This is a good opportunity to announce who our guest will be tonight, a very, very, very amazing woman. This woman is a priestess shaman to the bone, all wrapped up in a very, she's beautiful. She just represents courage to me. She lives in Oakland. She has a private practice. She teaches at the Globe Sound Healing Institute where I teach. And I'd have to say, when I first met her, I said, I want to be like her. So she's very, very seasoned. I was reading her website today, and when we introduce her, she will tell you about her path, how she came to her work as a shaman. It's a very beautiful, deep path. And it is Lisa Rafael. Lisa Rafael, very beloved in the Bay Area for her concerts, her work, her healing work. Yes, Matt?
Well, I'm presuming it's the same Lisa Rafael that played in my club about back in the 80s.
Well, I guess we'll find out when we bring her in. It's a small world, right?
That's why we're here.
What a connection. Well, let's talk about how we use sound healing before we bring Lisa in.
This is our weekly commercial.
Uh-huh, here we go. We have to do it.
Well, actually, are you doing the Spring Wellness Fair this year?
No, I'm going to skip it.
You're
going to
be in
Egypt? I
usually
do it, but the last time I was there with my voice bio, this is how the universe works. I could not get the program to work.
And
another voice bio practitioner came by, and we worked with it, but that was not the day for me to be reading people's frequencies.
Oh, surreal.
No, I'm going to be skipping that. Are you going to be there?
Yeah, for those of you who want to actually experience voice mapping, the Spring Wellness Fair will be in Sebastopol on Saturday, March 29th at 11 a.m. For those of you who know Sebastopol, it's in the Masonic Lodge in downtown Sebastopol. Mm-hmm. And I'll be giving out free demos of voice mapping. And voice mapping deals with healing emotional history, using the connection between muscle and memory. And there was an inventor named Calvin Young who, looking at the work of Shari Edwards, realized that when memory and muscle affect each other, that affects the voice. The muscles from the thighs up through the skull impact the frequencies that are actually expressed in the voice. And voice mapping, we have you talk about something specific, like a car accident or a divorce or the redheaded kid that beat you up in third grade. And you see a visual voice map of the emotions connected to that experience you talked about. And the magic happens when the frequencies from that voice map are fed back to you in a biofeedback process, unlocking that muscle and memory connection and allowing you to release and heal and become present as opposed to being run by the past around things related to that. So that's a very brief little description. If you go to mattkramer.com, you can read a lot more about it. And like I said, I'll be giving out little free demo sessions at the Spring Wellness Fair on March 29.
Mm-hmm. Every week you say it a little bit different, and I'm more enchanted.
Well, the neat thing is I don't have to memorize anything. I just talk about what I do.
And me too.
Right.
I use the voice bio, and it's interesting. Usually we do these fairs together because I can screen people. We talk a lot about this program, how everything in the universe has a vibrational matrix, and particularly our bodies, and it is represented by our voice. Our voice is a diagnostic tool and also the healing tool, the primordial healing tool, and I know Lisa and I will get into that later. Very amazing. But through the voice bio, I'm able to map the frequencies of your body, which even though you are a vortexing spiral of energy, it's like I can lasso that in a computerized form, taking a grid of all the musicality of your voice, put it onto a wave. Now, in that wave, we can separate the frequencies and give them labels. The labels are musical notes. So your voice is full of different musical notes. I love Matt's voice. It's very low.
La.
A lot of bass frequencies. I have to say he's the only person that ever fell asleep doing a voice bio, though. That was really amazing. So I can look at the frequencies in my background as a nurse. To me, this is so amazing. I can finally prove that singing heals. I can correlate the frequencies and the wave that your voice makes to your major health systems. For instance, if you're low in the note of C, usually your thyroid is low. If you're high in F sharp, your sympathetic nervous system is pressed. D sharp, your adrenals. I can look at immune system breakdown before you get into chronic fatigue, before your liver gets boggy and you end up in no man's land. And you can just revibrate it all back by singing.
Now, remind me why I'm supposed to do G.
Do you really want to get up close and personal here?
Sure.
Low digestive forces, young man.
Thank you.
That's it. You need a little bit of help in your digestion. So last week, and I had a young sound healer on, one of my students from Globe, and I caution the sound healers that if they are using one crystal bowl primarily, they are driving up that vibration in their system. Everything that we bring into our world has a vibration, so the important thing is to even it out, keep it balanced, and stay healthy. So for you, you need a G-bowl.
Thank you.
For now. Any more announcements before we bring in our guests?
That works for me.
Okay. I have one more little statement about Lisa, which, again, sums up just the immensity of the talents and the vibrancy of this woman. This was written on her website. From time to time, a musical genius appears of such inner truth, soulfulness, power, and grace that it uplifts and ennobles an entire generation. Lisa Raphael, whose healing chants transcend earlier genres, is such a talent. I think that's the perfect way to welcome you in, Lisa.
Well, thank you very much.
And welcome to our show.
Thank you.
Hi.
Hi, Dan. Hi, Matt.
So So did you play at my place a while ago?
It's so wonderful. So I don't even know how to respond because your club was a great club.
It was
down in Santa Monica, Jan.
Uh-huh.
And it was like the great club to play because it was a wonderful room. You had a sense that you were sort of in a different state and a different time.
Uh-huh.
And you could really do some pretty interesting things there. So at that time I was an actress in Los Angeles.
Ah.
And I had stopped doing my music for a while because I found that the casting directors sort of got confused that if you told them you could sing, they forgot that you could act.
Mm-hmm.
And so my agent at the time had said, well, you know, don't confuse them. Just stick with acting and
mm-hmm.
don't tell them you can sing. But I really missed it.
They were typecasting you, it sounds.
Well, that's the natural process.
Well, what was your earlier genre of singing? What types of songs did you sing when you first began performing as a singer?
I always wrote my own material.
Ah.
And, in fact, I was living in Washington, D.C., and I had my guitar, and I was out there working for the National Park Service.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be singing in the parks for the noontime concerts and also for the special events that they would do. And then my first real job was at an incredible club in Washington called Cellar Door, the Cellar Door.
A very famous club.
Very famous mm-hmm. club. And Jack Boyle was the owner of the club, and he invited me to be the opening act for Leo Kottke.
Oh, great.
And it was an extraordinary experience for my first job. And I was a kid, and it was great. So I did that for some time, but I found that I couldn't really make any money singing.
Mm-hmm.
Surprise.
No surprise.
That's a common theme on this show.
Oh, my God. So I ended up learning how to teach people ways to do all kinds of things with training films. And I was a young mom. I had these two little kids. I was a single parent. And I just had to figure out how to make it work. And I discovered that doing those kinds of training films could make me enough money, and doing commercials and voiceovers could make me enough money so that I could survive.
These corporate training films?
Yeah, things like Xerox and how to clean up a radioactive waste.
Oh, my goodness.
And
the voice of Lisa Raffel there.
Really? Really, I have quite an interesting reel.
I'd love to see that part of your bio. You know, speaking of voices, your voice has that motherly assurance that everything is going to be okay. That's built in.
Well, that's only because I believe that.
Mm-hmm.
It took a long time to get there.
You hold that space.
Well, it's the space that is my belief.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think of it as optimistic. I experience it as a deep experience of trust.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it works really well.
That's a good word, trust. Now, one of the things, when I first checked your website, I had never really heard that style of singing, which is what I'd like to really focus on now. It's a free, beautiful, you're really doing lots of wonderful tones. It's shamanic, yet it's also a beautiful lyrical voice, too. Tell us how that voice came about and developed.
Well, it's a little bit of a journey. I want to go back to the first time I actually heard sound as a shamanic experience, and that was in Nepal. And that particular experience affected me very deeply. I had a sensibility that the sound that was coming from these trees was suddenly a note. And that note, I just could know what that was. And something about that experience just sort of woke me up. Plus, the journey, I'm sure you've seen the book, the journey, I wrote a book called It Began in Kathmandu, which actually chronicles this very life-changing journey that I took in Nepal.
Yes, I saw that on your website.
Yeah.
Now, if somebody wanted to take a look at that book, could you direct them to how to find that? Is that on your website, Lisa?
It's on my website. You can purchase the book, and I'm... it's available. There aren't that many left, but there are some, and they are available.
Tell the listeners your website.
My website is www.lisaraffel, L-I-S-A-R-A-F, as in Frank, E-L, .com.
Okay.
So it's one A and one E in Raffel.
Mm-hmm. So... I looked, and you have three distinct chapters. The first part was your learning and preparation. And then you call the next part the beginning in
right.
Nepal. And the third part, your Egyptian experience. So go ahead and continue, and I'll just let you talk for a while without any interruption. Just
oh,
share
no,
with
I
us
love your questions.
Your awakening process, because so many people, particularly women, are waking up now, and they're unsure of what's happening to them. So it's so reassuring to hear someone talk about the various experiences, the bodily experiences, the interdimensionality, the tones, the sound. So just share with us your path, Lisa.
I think most journeys that really transform you come from some enormously painful obstacle. And that was certainly true for me. And during the process of learning how to live with my own embarrassment of the choices that I had made in my life, with the shame and the guilt that I experienced with some of my choices, mm-hmm. there was also this simultaneous opening that was taking place for me in Nepal, where I had an experience. Everything that could go wrong went wrong, and it was a very life-threatening journey. And on this journey, as I climbed Shantipur, which is called the Holy Mountain, which actually rests between Mount Everest and Kanchenjunga, which is the second highest peak, as I was climbing this mountain, I didn't know if I wanted to live. I was so embarrassed and so... unable to really see that there was a big, wide, wonderful world out there because of some of my choices. And what happened for me on that particular journey was I was able to witness sunrise at the top of this mountain. And it really became a majorly religious experience because I had a physiological, emotional, and psychological breakthrough in seeing the way the light actually exploded through the Himalayas.
Mm.
And for me, it meant there must be unbelievable beauty in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it became a life choice that I decided internally that that's what I would pursue, that I wouldn't pursue the suffering anymore.
Aha.
And instead, I would pursue what I believed was an expansive and belief-oriented way of living, which to me meant trust. So, of course, as soon as I made that decision, the universe shows up and starts testing you to see how much you really can trust.
Mm-hmm.
And my journey was a wonderful journey because it was so metaphysical and it was so unusual. I went from Nepal and I ended up in Greece where I was doing a recreation of the Eleusinian Mysteries with Dina Metzger.
Mm-hmm.
And during that journey, absolute magic happened. I would think something and it would happen. And I began to understand not only synchronicity, but I began to really deeply embody the fact that we live in a multidimensional world and it is there. It is waiting. And it's not like it's waiting for me. It's there for everybody, and it's waiting.
Mm-hmm.
And depending upon how you actually allow yourself to believe that, it is an extraordinary mm-hmm. decision all by itself.
Mm-hmm.
But once you decide to believe that, then it opened up the floodgates for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I had all of these very mystical and magical experiences in Greece, and I came back from Greece and ended up working with my Native American teacher, Jaime Ho Storm, who is a remarkable teacher and author. He wrote the book Seven Arrows and Lightning Bolt, and his bringing the medicine wheel to the non-indigenous population was a radical act at the time that he did it. And he became my teacher for a number of years, and I traveled to Israel with him and then also the first time to Egypt with him. Mm-hmm. During this opening and multidimensional experience, I started working as a psychic. And I was also doing a lot of shamanic work spontaneously, where I was experiencing a very deep lineage. And I had very present teachers who were from that dimension teaching me. And I lived in a small house in Malibu on the water, and really became known for many of the people there as the Rock Lady. And I, after this trip to Greece, I spontaneously started doing healing work. Mm-hmm. And during that time, I just realized at a more and more real level that the healing that we all have to go through is a meticulous personal journey that has to be engaged in such a way that you surround yourself with people of kindness.
Yes.
And by surrounding yourself with people of kindness, you learn how to become kind to yourself.
In an undefended state.
In an undefended state. Mm-hmm. So I was very fortunate. I had wonderful friends who became dear, you know, they're almost like protectors. Mm-hmm. They looked out for me during times when I was really deeply concerned that perhaps I was not all here.
Well, I think many people are having that experience as they shift interdimensionally.
Right.
They worry, they're losing their mind, they're insane. Well, you have to lose your mind to go through initiation. That's part of it.
Well, it's not that you lose your mind, it's that you lose the structure your mind is holding on.
Yes.
So you're not really losing anything, but you're losing the structure that you're hanging your coat on.
Yes.
That you believe is your identity, because that's where you've been hanging your coat all these years.
The illusionary security.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is security. It is, you know, you can call it illusionary after you're out of it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But while you're in it, it's not illusionary.
Mm-hmm.
Wherever you are is your reality. And it is impossible for the mind to believe that where you are is illusionary.
Mm-hmm.
So it depends upon your choice,
your
on
creation.
How you decide to understand reality each time you go through a transition inside yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You're the most unbelievable, powerful being possible because you have that choice inside of you. For me, it became clear that what was important for me was to go to Egypt and to learn about sound. And that was my third transition step, where I actually started practicing. I was living in Malibu, as I said, but I had moved up the hill. And I had had this spontaneous out-of-body experience in England when I was working with scientists as a psychic. And when I came back into my body, I thought, must learn about sound, must go to Egypt. And I started this chant. And every morning at sunrise, I was chanting a chant. And it was interesting, Jan, because 6 years later, I found out what I was singing.
What were you singing?
I was singing hieroglyphs. And what it meant
was,
I am a being in vibration rising up.
Of course.
Mm. And I didn't know I was singing that. But I knew I was singing what had to be sung. I'm sorry?
Probably a Hathor-inspired hieroglyph with that.
I don't know. You know, I find that my guides are different than most people's guides.
Mm-hmm.
I seem to have very multicultural guides.
Yes, now I have a question. When you said your lineage, and I've heard you say this before, that because we do not come from families where it is automatically assumed that your grandfather and such, that we actually have to discover within ourselves. So as this began emerging within you, it's an individual path that you must have had to discover which culture spoke to you, perhaps in parallel universes you're existing in as well right now. or the lineage of a higher beings up the ladder, how did you access or know or become aware of what it is that was coming through you?
Well, they were actually tapping me on the shoulder.
And speaking to you.
Yeah, so there was a... there were a number of unusual events where I was given the opportunity to really receive instruction differently than most people do. And that lineage came from Padmasambhava and also came from a number of different indigenous cultures, Native American cultures, what I would call, well, certainly the Greek and the Mongolian, and what I would call the ancient Egyptian, as we tend to want to interpret it now. But those lineages are really, for me, always about primordial space, which is what led me into my work and my deep love of Kabbalah.
Mm-hmm.
So I went from the Bon Tibetan tradition, which is also very primordial space, the whole Dzogchen, which is really understanding that quality of mind, and taking
simplicity,
taking sort of all of these pieces as they presented themselves to me. And always for me, this was just my journey, but always for me, believing that these pieces had meaning. And because I believed they had meaning, I made that whole journey very, very meaningful. And so each time I let myself... I had this one unbelievably real event that took place, I think it's now 7 years ago, where I had a red spot appear on my forehead as a round bindu. And it looked to some people like a stigmata. It looked to people like I had actually put a nice-sized, round, very round,
little
clearly
rouge.
Round red spot on my head.
Mm-hmm.
And all kinds of people would say, well, you know, what is that?
That's
did you
sign.
Put that there?
Mm-hmm.
You know, have you painted something on you?
Mm-hmm.
And I actually, the way I function, what I did was I said, no, I have no idea what it's there, but I believe it's there for a reason. So every morning, I would look at myself in the mirror, and I got to tell you, it looked so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I did this mantra, which actually deeply affected me. Every morning, I would look in the mirror, I'd see this spot, and I'd go, who is this kind woman? Because I looked like a kind woman.
And it felt natural to you that this appeared.
No. No, it didn't feel natural. It felt right.
There you go.
And there's a difference. It was definitely not natural. It was definitely unusual. It woke me up. I had to look in the mirror and see this and wonder, what was this face I was looking at? So it engaged me at a very deep level of inquiry, of if this looked so kind and beautiful to me, then that must be me.
Yes.
And if that was me, then I am this kind woman.
Ah.
So every morning I would say, who is this kind woman? I am this kind woman. And then I'd start the day. Well, you can only imagine how incredible that was.
Mm-hmm.
Because after 4 months, when the spot actually faded, it was so ingrained into me to accept that. To
greet yourself as this kind woman.
Yeah.
And your belief became that.
my belief, and, you know, this is the same for everyone. When we come to the place inside of ourselves where we actually rest in our heart,
mm-hmm.
it is the most natural place.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone has had an opportunity to feel that at one time or another in their life.
Mm-hmm.
It is just the most natural place. So for me, it became, because it's my journey, you know, this isn't right for everybody. But for me,
yes.
it seemed like, well, then I should stay there a lot. And in fact, I should stay there as much as I possibly can arrange.
That's great. That's great. My feeling is that sound and applying vibration helps maintain and create and expand these feeling states. So I'd like to segue a little bit into your concerts and your healing work and how you use your voice. So a word that's been coming up that my sound healing friends and I are using is, especially with the changes coming into the planet, that we are open to transmissions. In other words, these divine shards of energy, we are actually sounding and implanting this. How does that feel to you, what I'm saying about your work, about transmissions and bringing these sounds through with the singing?
Well, certainly that was my whole first CD, Ancient Prayers of Aaliyah.
Mm-hmm.
After I got back from Egypt, prayers would come through me. Mm-hmm. And after I'd been singing them for a lot of people, I went in the studio to record them so I could hear them. And so I could enjoy them as well. And really, and that's how that first CD came about. And I still use it to this day to recenter myself.
It's very powerful.
The whole nature of transmission is active. And everything happening right now is active.
It certainly is.
There is no passive happening right now. People are being asked to awaken, so they're having heart palpitations, they're having nervous disorders, they're having digestive disorders. They're experiencing their hands tingling. Their body is trying to sort what it is that's actually happening, and people go to the doctor, and of course they can't find anything.
Mm-hmm.
Because
it's higher vibrations.
It's the body trying to assimilate these new transmissions. And the experience that we, you know, you and me and Matt, the experience of teachers is to help people recognize that it's all right.
Absolutely. It's natural.
Yeah, that this is not something to be afraid of. This is something to actually just pay attention to. You know, and paying attention doesn't mean you go into contraction or you go into reactivity. It means you notice it.
It's about the flow and allowing.
Yeah.
Now,
so,
often we have sound healers on the program who are vocalists, and I always say, this is your opportunity to work with these frequencies with a large audience. We have listeners in India. So, Lisa, if you felt that you wanted to do a process,
oh sure,
do a little singing and toning,
I'd love to.
Great. We're reaching a lot of people. So
oh, I'd love to. That would be great.
Just take the space, and Matt and I will just receive, and we'll just come out when we're done. And I want to be sure that we leave time, though, to talk about your fabulous Spring Equinox concert coming up. So let's just say, if we, you know, maximum of 10 minutes, take us through something that you would like to share and do for all of us.
Well, there are two things that come to mind right away. One is a prayer that I love to do with the crystal bowl. So I'm not exactly sure how that's going to respond because of the high vibration of the bowl with this particular microphone.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to do a tiny bit and just sort of check in with you.
Okay.
And make sure that it's not distorting, because that would be very unpleasant for people to listen to.
Okay. We'll give you a readout.
Great. And then after that, there is a very short but very powerful prayer that uses that ancient language that I first began to sing, which
beautiful.
I discovered was hieroglyphs. So I'm going to do this little voice prayer for you with the bowl.
All right.
The nature of every song that I do is a prayer. And so I am holding a prayer in my belly right now for some people who are hurting, who are actually very afraid. They've been given some bad news, and they're really frightened. So I'm going to use this opportunity to sing something that no matter who in the world might feel any kind of fear about anything, might end up just relaxing more into their heart so that perhaps they could trust that their own soul really does know what it's doing,
mm-hmm.
and that they can follow that lead by trusting their intuition.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to move the microphone a little bit, and let's see how this goes. Doing?
Sounds good to me, Seth. Yes. How's it sound for you, Seth, our engineer? Must be good.
Must be good. Here we
no
go.
Complaints. Sounds beautiful.
Good. Hi-yo-way, hi-yo-lay-yo, lay-yo-lay-yo. So that particular prayer is really about showing up as recognizing yourself in beauty and that you are life itself and that every manifestation of everything you do and everything you think and everything you say and everything you want and everything you give and everything you receive, it's a fabric of the life, of the whole being, of the whole world, of the whole universe. And that you are a valuable part of it. And nothing, no one, not anything is like you. that the individual is unique and that that unique gift is the gift. So the song is to inspire people to show up for who they are, because who they are is the most profound gift that any of us can receive. To recognize another human being as sacred.
I've heard it described sometimes that, again, we always go back to frequencies on this show, that each person has a signature resonance and that their voice and their beingness needs to be expressed out into the world, or the orchestra or the symphony of the other beings miss those notes.
That's right.
That absolutely it's required. It's a hole in the fabric. The cohesiveness is lost. So I tell people, especially women, we need your voice. We need to get that hairball out. We need to get it really authentic and deep and fully expressed. And that was beautiful, Lisa. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Very,
you know,
very
in the
beautiful.
Kabbalah, it's called Tikkun Olam.
Uh-huh.
It's where you return to the one source, the one God, and it's the journey of people to light their light and keep it lit so bright that it maintains that that part of ourself is always visible to everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
So that if you are creative and if you are expressive and if you give that voice, then yes, you're visible. And by being visible, we can recognize each other and we can be each other's wholeness. It's really an extraordinary process.
We have to let our light shine, and then we can we amp up each other. So I think connectivity.
Sure.
Speaking of connectivity, you have produced and are also performing in. Tell us a little bit about this amazing Spring Equinox concert as part of a series that you've created that I have heard. David Gibson, the head of Globe Institute, said it was the most profound concert that he has ever been to.
Thank you so much, David. But everyone feels that way. It, because there is so much heart in the experience that is also fun and joy. And
mm-hmm.
What I do is I pick incredible musicians who love what they do, who are each soloists in their own right.
Mm-hmm.
And then we form a band. And we each get a chance to solo, and the audience gets to sing, and the audience gets to dance, and there is a ritual in the midst of it that always celebrates the new spring.
Ah.
It's always on the vernal equinox, and we actually have real ritual, and there is poetry, and there is usually something that people use. The first year, I gave everyone scarves, and they used it, and we created this wonderful veil dance, and last year we actually did ribbons where people did prayer ties, and this year it's a big surprise what people are going to get, so I hope everybody shows up.
This is the whole rainbow, Lisa. I mean, you've got Linda Tillery, who the first time I heard her in a radio interview, I said, what? This woman is just the most soul. Every cell of her body vibrates soul. Unbelievable.
Oh.
You've got Gary Malkin, who is one of the best composers in the entire world.
Yep.
And his sensitivity and his fingertips when he plays the piano.
Yep.
Stephen Kent, Didge. It's just quite amazing.
Chris Yenny on cello. Unbelievable cello.
Oh, you're kidding. You have Chris?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my.
Oh, yes. We have Arisa Karazic doing the ritual. We have Louisa Teesch doing the storytelling.
Oh, my.
Tim Rayborn and Evelie Salas and Ida Maxim, incredible voices and musicianship. I mean, each one of these people does their own band. They have their own
their
own following, huge following. And what happened last year with this particular group is after we finished the concert, they all looked at me and they said, "We're all here next year."
Yeah, there you go.
This is it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no room to bring in anybody else because nobody wants to leave.
Yeah, what a synthesis. Unbelievable.
It's really great. Everyone leaves so happy. It's hard to describe how happy everyone is.
Well, I'm looking at the pictures right now on the website, and I can feel. Now, let's say the date and the time and how to get tickets.
Okay, it's March 15th. It's a week from Saturday, March 15th, Saturday night at 7:30. It's in Oakland at the Lake Merritt United Methodist Church, which is right on Lake Merritt. It is a gorgeous church. We're in a beautiful, beautiful room. The way to get tickets is to go on my website, and there is a ticket service that will completely send you your tickets. My website, again, is www.lisaraffel, one word, LISARAF, E-L.com. You can also call 510-654-3234. And the show tends to get close to selling out, pretty close to the time. So if you're planning on coming to the door to get tickets, you can, but I would advise you to get there early. So tickets go on sale at 6:30, and the doors open at 7, and it's general seating, so first come, first serve gets to get the best seats. And
I can just hear Linda Taylor is singing, "Run, Martha, run, you've got a ride to the tree of life."
Well, Linda has...
And Linda Taylor used to play Matt's Club, too?
Yeah.
Wake up, Matt. Come on. Jump in here.
Linda is... I just think she's one of the most extraordinary voices ever.
It's a phenomena.
I am so blessed to have these particular performers.
She plays the drums, too.
Oh, yeah. She brings gospel and soul and beauty and drumming into this thing.
It is in that woman's
body. And, Emily Salas is doing the most beautiful lullaby, a Filipino lullaby in Filipina. We actually have, and Tim Rayborn plays the oud. He's a master oud player. And
whatever that is, what is that?
The oud is this large, big barrel-shaped stringed instrument that people in the Middle East play, which is gorgeous. Or he also is going to play the harp, and he plays 27 instruments.
Oh boy!
So
wow!
These are all masters. I mean, Linda is. They all are real masters.
Yeah.
It's an unusually hot time.
yeah. Well, I can imagine the transmissions, and if someone had a camera, all those little orbs would be like a phenomena there.
Well, I had
Matt,
half
Matt's
the people. Do you remember last year at the Globe conference?
Yes.
You know, both of us were. It was a wonderful event, and I produced the concert for that concert. And there were orbs all over the place that were photographed.
I've seen those in the photographs.
Yeah, it was
little
great.
Little beings of light, sacred geometry. It's Matt's turn to talk. He's a mediator, and you know what? When I first met him, he told me, the one thing I hate is when people interrupt me, and I see he's getting ready to talk, so I'm backing up.
Hi, Matt.
Well, actually, it was a segue based on, I don't know if you know, Lisa, but I became a professional mediator after I left the music business.
I did not know this.
And I looked on your website, and you do counseling for couples. Can you talk about that?
Yes. I work as a spiritual counselor, helping people to have more heart. And I started working with couples about 8 years ago. And I work with them in two ways. One is they begin to see that their energy affects the other person. So
that's
teaching them how to actually read that this energy is very real so that they can be kinder and sensitive and more aware of how they're treating each other is one of the keys that I use. The other, I do use... language, because language as a form of sound is key. So it could be language like even making the ah sound or letting them say what they need to say, but also noticing that they can feel the vibration. You know, you talk about feedback. I'm actually teaching them feedback. I'm giving them a way to read their own energy, and they can see how with each other they are not exactly... on key, or they are on key, and they're harmonizing well.
Communication is sound healing, for sure. We're just about coming to a close for our interview here. Matt, did you have any further questions?
I'm glad we do a whole show just on the working with people.
Yeah, we can have Lisa come back. We'd love to have you come back and be a guest for that portion, too.
Well, thank you so much. I would love to do that. And I'm really looking forward to hearing more about what both of you are doing also, so I'm tuning in to listen to both of you as you talk.
We're all working together. I like that word. We're tuning in. We're tuning into each other. Lisa, you're a fabulous guest. Just very, very rich. I know our listeners appreciated every minute of your being here tonight. Tell us your website again.
LisaRaffel.com. L-I-S as in Sam, A. R-A-F as in Frank, E-L. .com. And the phone number is 510-654-3234. 654-3234.
Lisa has books. She has CDs. She gives unbelievable workshops in working with subtle energies.
Oh, I do have two new wonderful workshops coming up that I didn't get a chance to talk about. But
yeah, we have a minute. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, well, in April, I'm doing a program that I've done in Europe for many, many years, and I'm bringing it back to the States for the first time in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
It's called The Five Worlds. And it really takes people through five different experiences of their reality, where they deal with their sword, which is the courageous and the warrior part of them, the mirror, how they see themselves, how they look through others' eyes to see themselves, and how they can free themselves from that. The cloud, which is the ever-changing relationship to spirit. The veil, which is fear, mystery, and the unknown. And as people go through that, they begin to understand that they can embrace that mystery and not be afraid of it. And then the diamond, which is that place of clarity and balance. So it's happening for the first two weekends in April here in Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a first class they actually have to take. It's called Awaken. It's where I tune them vocally, shamanically. It's a shamanic ceremony. So everyone gets to have that experience first before they begin the process. And then they work together as a group through this process. And it's a small group, and it's life-changing.
They're great. I've been to it, really. I talked to my boyfriend's mother in the white room, so I know Lisa's good.
Yes.
And you can get all this on your website, Lisa. So
yes, you can.
That is great.
Well, great reconnecting with you, Lisa.
Oh, great.
Wonderful, Matt.
It's
I really am glad to talk to you.
And
thank
I hope
you so
to see
much.
You soon. We wish you a wonderful concert.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Good night, Lisa. Thank you so much. Matt, I have a few little announcements here in our moment left. Would you like to do your
Well, I hear you might be almost sold out on your trip to Egypt.
It's really filling up, but if people would like to go, they can call Paul Hubbard. The trip is April 26th to May 7th, the Egypt Journey of the Heart, Anchoring World Peace and Harmony. Paul Hubbard and, of course, Randy Masters are the leaders on this trip. What a crew. The number is to call Paul, 512-891-7888. 887, and we certainly hope you can join us. It's going to be a fabulous trip. I'm going to Israel afterwards to do some sound and sacred work there with Ileana Gilead. A couple other little announcements here. Sound healing events all over the place. Sacred Sound Immersions. The Zionic Sores presents Sacred Sound Immersions. It's a new place in San Francisco. It's called the Zen Compound Temple. 540 Howard Street, and on Saturday, March 22nd at 6:30, I will be joining other sound healers, my good friend Mark Deutsch on the Byzantar. Silvina Vergara and I will be doing some toning. Again, that is Saturday, March 22nd, and you can call Diana, or this is her email, Diana, D-I-A-N-A, at temples, then the letter F, .com. It's a $15 to $30 sliding scale. And then I'm very thrilled to announce that Claire Victor, head of our Center for Spiritual Living choir here, Claire and I have started working together. And she and I are born a week apart, and I swear we are sisters, separated at birth. It's when we sing together, it's like she's the earth and I'm the heaven. It's like we're the other side of the really, I feel it's extraordinary. So Claire Victor and I are going to be doing a sound journey at the Open Secret Bookstore in San Rafael.
Oh, that's a great place.
Really, really cool. We'll be in the temple, and that's coming up March 14th on a Friday evening at 7:30 p.m. Just come and join us, lighting scale up to 22. March 14th, Open Secret Bookstore in San Rafael. Claire Journey and I will Claire, Victor and I will be doing a sound journey that evening. The biggest announcement is be sure and go to soundhealingcenter.com and make your reservations for the World Sound Healing Conference put on by Globe Institute. It's May 2nd through the 5th at the Clarion Hotel. Jeff Thompson, Lisa Raffel, our wonderful guest tonight, Susan Hale, one of my best friends, Sylvia Nakash, Don Campbell, soundhealingcenter.com. I won't be there. I'll be in Egypt, but I know it's going to be fabulous. And Matt, what would you like to share for our closing announcement?
Well, a little more down to earth for those of you that like singers and songwriters and folk music. We'll have our Sunday afternoon Songs of Sonoma this coming Sunday the 9th with Bev Barnett and Greg Newland out of sort of the Santa Cruz area, coming through to play some of their wonderful music. And opening at the Songwriters Circle, Ira Marlowe, who's a very funny and deep songwriter, and his buddy Al Haas. So that's this coming Sunday, March 9th. And that's probably enough for now.
Next week's guest is Vicki Noble. We'll be talking about her work with the Sacred Divine Feminine. She lives in Santa Cruz. We'll be welcoming Vicki. I think it's time to say goodnight.
I think that's a pretty good full hour we've done there.
Good night from Live from Ordinary Miracles, and may your life be a continuous miracle.
Journey.
Miracle journey. Good night.
Good night, y'all.
Thanks for joining us.
Roll.